I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Podsave the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Podsave the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
Tom Swarbrick on LBC. Listen on your smart speaker. Just say, play LBC.
10 to 6, Friday night. Tom Swarbrick on LBC. The investment session on the way, but it's Trump time first. We're all in Trump's world now. How is that world taking shape? Eyes down, pens up, mop the sweat from your brow. It's Simon Mark's American Week.
Tom, this American Week comes to you from an entirely different country, because on Monday, at the stroke of midday here, everything changed.
I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
That I will faithfully execute.
That I will faithfully execute.
The office of President of the United States.
The office of President of the United States.
And will to.
It took less than a minute. It all looked so normal. President Biden, Vice President Harris, Barack Obama, the Bushes, the Clintons, all watching. Melania Trump flanking her president, the entire Trump family on hand.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Mr. President.
Hail to the Chief, being played by the Marine Corps Band, a 21-gun salute by the US Army. It could be heard all over the city centre. And then an inaugural address in which President Trump vowed that this time round, he means business.
My recent election is a mandate to completely and totally reverse a horrible betrayal and to give the people back their faith, their wealth, their democracy, and indeed their freedom. From this moment on, America's decline is over. Those who wish to stop our cause have tried to take my freedom and indeed to take my life. Just a few months ago, in a beautiful Pennsylvania field, an assassin's bullet ripped through my ear. But I felt then, and believe even more so now, that my life was saved for a reason. I was saved by God to make America great again.
That divine intervention, he said, would allow him to lead the country by following the example of President William McKinley, America's 25th president. He served from 1897 until his assassination in 1901. And at a time when Donald Trump is talking about seizing the Panama Canal, taking over Greenland, and securing Canada's agreement to become America's 51st state, the main thing you need to know about McKinley is that he is the president who expanded the USA by securing control of Hawaii, the Philippines, Puerto Rico, Guam, and by trying to get his hands on Cuba as well.
So this is January 6th. These are the hostages. Approximately 1,500 for a pardon.
Yes.
Full pardon.
Just hours later, with the non-stop use of his trademark felt-tipped pen, Trump was signing scores of executive orders, freeing even the most hardened January the 6th insurrectionists who beat, bloodied and battered police officers in their failed efforts to halt the certification of Joe Biden's 2020 election victory.
His motto is promises made, promises kept.
Enrique Tarrio, leader of the far-right vigilante group The Proud Boys, freed from serving a 22-year jail sentence for seditious conspiracy and immediately giving an interview to pro-Trump Newsmax TV.
We couldn't be happier. It's not just for this, but for everything that's going to happen in these next 4 years. We already see that he means business from day one.
He certainly does. We do not have enough time to list all the ways in which Trump has overturned America's apple cart in the last few days, but here are some of them. He's halted the arrival in America of thousands of refugees whose flights had already been booked. Even those children hoping to be reunited with their parents are now back at square one. He has immediately halted all diversity, equity and inclusivity operations within the government, putting thousands of diversity hires on immediate administrative leave and ordering civil servants nationwide to snitch on colleagues they believe are still trying to advance DEI efforts in government. He has stood down the entire National Security Council, telling its staff only those with proven loyalty to him will be permitted to return. He has deployed 1,500 troops to help seal America's border with Mexico, kick-started the process of mass deportations by launching what authorities call targeted raids against illegal immigrants accused of crimes. He has halted many of the daily operations of the National Institutes of Health, ordered staff there and in many other branches of the government to make no public comment about what the new administration is up to. The first lawsuits are piling up. We do not know how he or his entirely pliant cabinet choices are going to respond when courts all over the land tell him that he can't do what he wants to do. And this week, Donald Trump tussled with a bishop. When the President and the First Lady arrived at Washington's National Cathedral for the traditional service the morning after the inauguration, there was no hint of what was coming.
There are gay, lesbian, and transgender children in Democratic, Republican, and independent families who fear for their lives.
The bishop, Marion Edgar Buddy, had one chance, and as Donald Trump watched, stony-faced, she took it.
The people who pick our crops and clean our office buildings, who labor in poultry farms and meatpacking plants, who wash the dishes after we eat in restaurants and work the night shifts in hospitals, they may not be citizens, but the vast majority of immigrants are not criminals. I ask you to have mercy, Mr. President, on those in our communities whose children fear that their parents will be taken away.
The man who believes he is president because of divine intervention found himself bumping up against a bit of divine intervention that infuriated him.
Everybody there was shocked and mortified by the disturbing comments from this bishop who chose to weaponize the pulpit.
Welcome to Washington, new White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt. What makes the bishop's comments all the more remarkable is the fact that retribution is already being meted out to several people Trump considers enemies. He's revoked the security clearances of 51 former top officials he considers traitors, while signing orders allowing him to grant security clearances to anyone he wants for up to 6 months. That means several members of his inner circle who would never have passed standard background checks are now trafficking daily in the country's secrets. General Mark Milley, the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who refused to turn the army against peaceful protesters during Trump's first term, became a non-person this week, his portrait removed from the main hallway at the Pentagon, a tactic straight out of Stalin's playbook. The security protection for former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and former National Security Advisor John Bolton was removed. Both must now fend for themselves against death threats from Iran. Mr. Bolton spoke to CNN last night.
Do you fear more for your life now than you did last Thursday, last Friday?
I hope the answer to that is no. But if the president of the United States, in effect, is inviting terrorist attack, I don't think anybody can predict what the outcome is going
to
be.
I want to end this week delving back into history because past, as you know, is often only prologue. And I'm going to bring you an interview that I believe has not been heard publicly for 37 years since its original broadcast on LBC in 1988.
Within 2 hours, President Johnson had called the networks and media of all kinds to say he didn't want to see that Eartha Kitt's face anywhere, anywhere. So within 2 hours, I was out of work in the United States.
That is the late, great Eartha Kitt talking to the late and also great Mike Allen. She knew a thing or two about presidential retribution. She was on the receiving end of it from President Lyndon Johnson. In 1968, in the middle of the Vietnam War, Eartha Kitt was invited to attend a White House lunch for prominent women. It was hosted by the First Lady, Lady Bird Johnson. She blotted her copybook by daring to tell the First Lady the truth about the Vietnam quagmire.
I reported to her what the young boys who had come to my dressing room and my hotel rooms all over the areas that I had been traveling, including here in London, who had fled America because they didn't want to be involved in American in the Vietnamese escalation or in the Vietnamese war to begin with. And of course, since Mr. Johnson was with the great intention of escalating the Vietnamese war, and I was not for it, I was not on his side, therefore, you're out of favor. And that's what caused the whole thing.
After LBJ declared Eartha Kitt a non-person simply for voicing uncomfortable truths, she could not find work in America for more than a decade. It was only because the UK and France welcomed her with open doors that her career survived.
When you've been through Johnson and Reagan and Nixon, anything else is a lie.
Hers was an isolated case, and she put a brave face on it, even in her final appearance there at the Cheltenham Jazz Festival in 2008. But with Donald Trump in the White House, Europe may need to be braced for his targets to seek sanctuary, because like the rest of his agenda, Tom, his campaign of revenge is only just getting underway.
Called a pinko, commie tool, I got through with stinko by my pool. I should have gone to an acting school, that seems a clear. Still someone said she's sincere, so I'm here. Black Sable one day, next day it goes into hock.
From Washington, D.C., Simon Marks, American Week.
I'm Alastair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.